He's the integrative cardiologist with a heart. It's the Dr. Decker Weiss Show.
Are we over-medicating our youth? I think so. I think it's been a problem for a long time, and I think the problem's been escalating, especially in the absence of a lot of other therapies that can help our kids to feel better, be sharper, and maybe sit in their seats a little bit longer. We have an expert, Dr. Frank J. Granett. Now, that's not Garnett. That's Granett, G-R-A-N-E-T-T. He's a registered pharmacist with 25 years of consulting experience in attention deficit disorder and other psychiatric drug therapy. Now, you have to understand, listeners, that as a physician, I have relegated the expertise to pharmacists on medications. We were never supposed to be the experts in medication. The pharmacists were. And somehow physicians, we came in and we sort of started taking over the whole scenario and telling people what were the best drugs and not the best drugs. And now what we're seeing is forward-thinking pharmacists like Dr. Granett. He's got a book, Over-Medicating Our Youth. We've got these forward-thinking pharmacists writing books and becoming the experts on medication. Dr. Granett, welcome to the show. I'll start off with the obvious question. Are we over-medicating our youth?
Yeah, it's now a full-blown epidemic with respect to behavioral challenges in children, especially, Doctor. And, you know, when you have 12 million children and young adults consuming some form of ADHD stimulant and or psychiatric medications, in our country. And what's more alarming than that is the fact that that consumption rate is three times the world's children combined. So we're deep into this epidemic. And, you know, I wrote this book just to go and help parents and educators as well as healthcare professionals understand when we rule out the risk factors, we can get kids back on track before we prematurely medicate children, especially our young children.
Do you find that most physicians care about your viewpoint? You know what I mean?
Because yes, they do.
A lot of physicians are just like, hey, you know what? I'll just prescribe this and go out my day. I've been doing fine all these years. Yeah, you're probably right. It's too much medication, blah, 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 blah. Or do they care about you? I mean, are they referring parents to your book?
Yes. Here's what's going on right now. And it's a movement now where in the United States, many physicians, plain and simple, don't know what other alternatives, what other, you know, alternative assessments we can find out, because these ADHD, especially conditions or symptoms, are very real in children especially, but they have an underlying causation that should be ruled out. And when physicians especially understand that, you know, we talk about reactive hypoglycemia, we talk about spinal alignment, we talk about whole foods diet, etc., you know, when we get into those assessments with physicians, they're on board. But you are right, they have a short amount of time now. The drug therapy is effective in 7 out of 10 children especially, but it's the long-term effects that are now making doctors wake up and say, hey, we got to put the brakes on this. And
Let's break that. So you say the medications can be effective in 7 out of 10 kids. I haven't seen that.
Short-term, we're talking about focus and attention. If you have, let's say, you know, a 5, 6, 7-year-old that has a focus attention problem, I'll be very direct with the Johns Hopkins study that came out this past March, where they looked at the ADHD stimulants in the 3 and 4-year-old population. But let's say you have a child with attention and focus issues, the Adderall, Ritalin type compounds will effectively short term create a positive response. Now, in 7 out of 10 children, it's the long term. It's what happens a year down the road or 2 years, and it depends on the child.
But years,
or the
years
anxiety
not that long.
Issues.
I mean, you're talking
What's
about
that?
A 3-year-old by the time they're four, it may not be working, plus the side effects of stimulants. I mean, you know, I'm biased. I'm an integrative physician. I'm a naturopath. You know, I have a 4-year-old who does have ADHD. I have ADHD.
Right.
I've counseled a lot of patients on it. I try and let them know the advantages of being ADHD,
right,
as long as you can get, you know, your exercises, your left brain exercises going and structure and things like that. You're a pharmacist. You're trained in the teaching and the proper use of medications. Do you feel like Don Quixote going after the big windmill?
No, because you know what's going on right now. I mean, the movement is such where you got prominent and prestigious institutions like Johns Hopkins that have basically disbanded you know, from the DSM protocols, you know, which mm-hmm. basically give physicians, these are the diagnosing criteria for especially ADHD, they've mm-hmm. disbanded from that. They haven't followed that in over a decade. So what's going on now is
wow.
there's this dynamic shift with many institutions now realizing, you know, they have to change course because what's happening, especially with young kids, I'll give you a perfect example. A young child, age 4, I had a mom that I do a lot of consulting with parents especially, age 4 put on a Adderall-type drug it got a decent type of response, but now the child within a year developed anxiety, and guess what mm-hmm. the doc put him on it? And this is a pediatrician, put him on risperidone.
Yeah, and benzodiazepine.
0.5 milligrams.
Sure. Oh, my God.
So that's the thing that has to change, where we have to get into these assessments. And when docs realize that these assessments are helping young kids out, especially revert, they get excited about it. So it's a matter of getting that word and message out that we talk about through our nonprofit organization.
Now, I don't do pediatrics, and here's why. I can't deal with the parents. Meaning that I've treated a lot of kids for different illnesses and autoimmune diseases and things through the years. We make all the changes, but the parents are resistant to the changes when I know that the children need to do it, and I just don't have the patience to do that. When you say, okay, your kid can't, you got to keep the processed food and the chemicals away, are the parents receiving this and making the changes, or are the parents going, nah, you know, I'd just rather use the medications?
No, they are receptive, and here's why, Dr. Weiss. What's going on is parents are at their end rope. They've realized, and I get most of the consults through the Brain Life Center here in Clarkston, Michigan, which deals with brain wave optimization and that neurofeedback. But mm-hmm. I get a lot of those referrals, and guess why? They're these types of assessments, especially when the children are on medication, and guess what? After a certain period of time, the medication is no longer working. The docs are finding out that they have to add more, prescription medications to try and get this child behaviorally on the right track. And what happens is, they come to me, I get the referrals, and I tell the parents, they're at their end, they're at their wit's end, and they want solutions. And I tell them, the only way you're going to get solutions for your child is this, A, B, and C. And we have a complete action plan on our website that helps parents, and I do free consultations to let them know that it's a 1-2-3 step, not a simple mm-hmm. step, you're right, but it takes time, but it can solve the underlying causation to these symptoms that are real.
Okay, parents, hear this, expert here, you can solve this by working on the underlying causes drug-free. So parents are listening, their kid has a diagnosis of ADHD, what directions do you know? A couple, three, four things for them to get started.
The very first thing before you even contemplate drug therapy for your child is number one: the spinal alignment has to be assessed. It has to be. You have Whoa. To make sure there's no, neurologic impingement of nervous system energy flow. And the reason is, and I'll let your, especially the moms and dads out there, and understand. You know, our precursors for all the neurotransmitters are manufactured in the stomach and small intestine. So if there's a blockage of any type of nervous system energy flow off the spine, that's going to be an issue. It's going to compromise the production of these precursors of neurotransmitters. Mm-hmm. The second issue is the cervical spine and the neck. Texting, there's a lot of data, a lot of case studies out there right now in our teenage population. Texting, where that neck or cervical spine is protruded forward, you get impingement on nervous system energy flow, and guess what? Kids are actually in the teenage population developing ADHD-like symptoms because of this fact. Then we move over to the nutrition. We all know whole foods diet. We have to do that. Whole foods mm-hmm. diet is critical. You got to get all the boxed cereals out of there, out of your home. And the reason is, many parents aren't aware of this, the GMO type.
Getting back on the whole foods. Dr. Granite, you can keep going. We're going to have you on again. CAOOY.org, CAOOY.org. This is where you can read about Dr. Granite's work. He has a book, Over Medicating Our Youth. We want our youth to stay healthy, sharp, and productive as they get older. And a Radio MD, that's what we're trying to bring it.